Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. Jeremy Lenatine is joining me yet again as we continue to explore using email in your church to reach people and connect with people. Jeremy, welcome back.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again. It's been good learning all this good stuff, man. Thanks.
Great. So just a quick recap of what we went over the last time we talked. We just went over kind of some of a high level view of MailChimp, which is the platform we've chosen to take a look at. Again, the concepts here are transferable to just about any platform you choose to use. But we're using MailChimp because of, again, popularity, pricing, user interface. Not to say it's perfect, not to even imply that it's the absolute best, but hey, it's just what we've chosen to work with. So what we looked at specifically, though, is we dove into what they call, what MailChimp calls customer journeys, or what the maybe bigger business term would be, email funnels. And we just looked at the basics of how to set one up, how to start one. And obviously, Jeremy, you still have your work cut out for you in terms of you've got to kind of fill in all the information. But we kind of talked through how that works. Now, today, what we're going to look at a little bit more specifically is how to really manage your contacts more effectively. Because as we were setting up journeys, it was like, okay, well, now as you get to this stage, based on what segment they might be in, or what group they might be in, you can start to change what happens and what email they get sent next. And you can even move them potentially from one group to another, remove them from a group, things like that. So obviously right. We didn't have any of that set up, so we couldn't dive into that specifically. So what we're going to look at today is a little bit more about that. Let's dive right in. Jeremy, you got any thoughts or questions off the top before we get into all this?
One thing I was going to say that you brought up that made me really start thinking is when you know, because I get excited about let's start making the content for it. But what you said is so true too. You should stop first and write your whole journey on paper of Absolutely. What someone wants to get and lay it out first. Make sure it makes sense because you're going to save yourself a lot of time. Maybe you get backed into a corner and realize, you know, you need to step back and you just wasted a couple hours. So putting it all on paper first and making sure, you know, picture yourself as the guest or whatever the context and move through those stations. How long should you wait before the next email comes? What would someone be thinking? That kind of stuff. Really put yourself in their shoes would probably save you hours of design and content time. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will emphasize that, like, just make sure that you are mapping it out beforehand, because again, if you're watching, listening, and you're like, hey, I don't want to use MailChimp, that's fine. You can use any platform that you want, because again, this is all transferable. It doesn't matter what platform you use. In theory, you could just manually send it out from your Gmail if you wanted. That kind of defeats the purpose of using a platform like this. But it all starts with that plan and putting that together. Kind of, if you will, not in an analog format, I guess, instead of a true digital automated format. So yes, that's going to be an important first step, is mapping all of that out. Okay. So let's dive in here. I'm going to get my screen, on your screen. Again, this will be my friendly reminder to those that are in our listening audience in particular, that this is one of those episodes you're going to want to watch. I'm doing my best to describe what's on the screen, but there is a chance you will get lost. So a shameless plug for the YouTube channel, youtube.com/mustincrease. Also see the link rather in the show notes and description, and it'll take you right there. And again, while you're there, subscribe, like the video, all that good stuff. We'd appreciate that. Okay, so yeah, let's take a look here. So we're now over in the audience section. And again, we're going to be careful not to take a look at the specific context on the list because, you know, we want to keep that information private. By the way, side note, be very careful with that, your privacy and all of that. It's good to have an effective privacy policy in place on your website, especially if you're going to start collecting user data. It's very simple to get a privacy policy. In fact, if you just Google, you know, website privacy policy, there's any of them that you can pick from, just copy and paste more or less. But regardless of what your policy says, be very sensitive and protective of their data and things like that. I think that goes without being said, but that is something that you're going to want to be careful with. So we're going to practice what we preach there about it, protecting those who are on your list here. So, but we're just mainly going to look at the manage contacts section. And this is going to show us kind of some of our different options. So we talked about three areas. So let me make a slight clarification on what we discussed last time. Last time we talked about this idea that we talked about the audience. And I think one of the things that we talked about and implied was that maybe you could create multiple audiences. That's probably not going to actually be applicable to you in most cases. You're not going to want to create necessarily separate audiences, but you are going to want to group and segment your main audience together or use them. All of that audience, we're going to separate them into groups and segments rather than creating new audiences for each one. And so that's just a clarification there. So what's the difference between, let's talk about groups and segments mainly. Groups are mainly this. Groups and even tabs are more or less manual, whereas segments are dynamic. So for example, if I want to create a group, maybe the term should be not manual, but static. If I want to create a group, that's going to be a static group as far as people are only going to be added to that group if I want them to be, or if I can automate them to be added to that group, but they are there because you want them to be there and you have an intentional purpose for them being there. So for example, an example of a group would be young singles. Okay. This is someone in your college class or whatever, you know, ages 18 to 25 or however you've got those parameters set up. And you want them in that group because they fit that criteria, you know, but then you might have the young married couples that are age 25 to 30. Okay. Well, obviously they would fit your married, you know, criteria. They're young, whatever. And you put them in that group. Now, the nice thing about groups is that people can exist in one group, more than one group, or no groups. So you can have people. So for example, you could have the young single group, but that person could also maybe be serving on the, you know, greeters team. Okay. So they're doing hospitality and greeting. Okay, cool. And you want a team there for that. Okay. They can exist in both of those groups simultaneously, or they may be in no groups at all, you know, for whatever reason. And so that's the nice thing about groups is they're static. You can have them as many groups as you want. Now let's talk a little bit about segments. So when it comes to segments, those are dynamic. All right. So when it comes to dynamic segments, what it means is it's primarily based on their activity. And I actually think that would be a good way to kind of start here. Let me go to segments and let's kind of look into creating, you know, what a new segment like might look like. Now they have here's just some examples they give at the top here. They have disengaged. So find contacts who haven't opened your last 5 email campaigns. Okay. So they're getting your emails, but they're not opening them. Okay. Engaged. It's the opposite. They have opened, you know, all of your last 5 email campaigns. So that means they're very engaged. So those are some examples of it. But if you were to create a segment using kind of your own parameters, you can see the options here as it loads. So you can filter. You can filter out people based on, you can do this based on their contact details. So for example, I'm not going to, if I click any of these, it's likely going to show the contact information. So I'm not going to do that. But for example, you could click on email address And you could actually filter out people based on if they are a Gmail account or not. Now, I don't know why you would want to, but you can. And so you can say, hey, you know, everybody who's got a gmail.com address, you can do that. You know, so you could do something like that. You could also do it based on what email client they're using. So are they using the Gmail app on their phone or the Mail app on their phone? Are they using Outlook? Are they using, you know, maybe any other variety of email clients that they're using to read their email out there? So you can do it through things like that. And then, yeah, we can go down here to automation activity. We could take a look at, again, at, okay, those automations, those funnels and journeys that we're talking about, how well are they engaged on that? Where are they at on that journey? You can filter them out based on that. Again, campaign interaction. The campaigns are the emails that you're sending more or less as promotional emails that aren't necessarily part of a automated journey. So you could go in and say, okay, here's the people that are opening, like the example was the past five campaigns or whatever. And then engagement is same. Engagement would be they're opening and they're clicking. So we can actually do it based on they're clicking the links that we're sending them or they're not clicking it. And then you can also, again, if you look into the SMS texting side of things, you can look into that as well. And so, yeah, these are the different options and create these segments. But again, a segment is something that's based on primarily on their activity and engagement. So again, this top example of disengaged subscribers and engaged subscribers is a great contrast of what you'd be looking at there. Jeremy, any thoughts or feedback questions on the segments here?
It looks like segments has where you would do any celebrations like birthdays and anniversaries can be put in there, but I guess so their contact would have to have their birth date attached or any other thing you want to have there.
Yeah, there was the option to use the birthday as more or less a segment filter there. And again, I'm being very cautious not to click, because once you start clicking, it's going to start showing, oh, who's in the segment? We want to protect that information. But yeah, so I'm not exactly sure all of the ins and outs of what the birthday feature in particular does. Had said, I can't remember if we said this on the mic or off the mic, but basically between now and our last recording, was to, when it comes to birthdays, I would recommend if you want to do that and you want to collect birthdays, I think it's a great idea. Just set up a separate journey that every time a birthday pops up, you're sending them like just an email that says, happy birthday, you know, whatever, here's a free coffee from our coffee shop or whatever you want to offer them for that. And it kind of just is its own separate journey that's going to trigger every time somebody's birthday pops up.
Okay.
Okay. So that's segments. Now, I'm going to move on to talking more about groups. So like we kind of said with groups, groups are more of a static type of grouping. In that they are going to not be based pretty much at all on their actual activity. So you're not going to, now what you can do, again, I don't want to get too complex, but this is a practical application of how segments and groups can work together. If somebody enters a segment in which they are becoming maybe less active, you can put them in a group that basically indicates as so, and that means that maybe moving forward, that group isn't going to get as many emails. So there is a way to kind of piece them together there, but you just don't want to get too complicated in that overlap because then it starts to get confusing. But they can, groups and segments can kind of work together in that way. But yeah, group is, it's more of a static thing. So if I do create a group, so one of the things I can do is as I'm creating it, I can now also give people the option on a signup form to potentially go ahead and opt into a group. So if that's an option you want to give them, you know, for example, we talk about, hey, I'm interested in salvation, baptism, you know, whatever it may be, you know, serving. Okay, well, you could potentially create these different groups and then present them on a form, or you can just choose the option of, okay, no, we're not going to show this group on the form. You know, it's something you don't have to do. And then they have, you know, and groups, as you can see, can get pretty, they're kind of categorical here. So I can have a category of groups. So I could say, like, let's use the example of, you know, this is my serving teams. and then I can have, you know, hospitality, you know, children, you know, let's say youth ministry, whatever. And you can have these different, you know, groups there, or groups that are part of a category. Okay. So I'm just going to save this one just for sake of illustration. Okay. And so now you can start to add people to these groups. So you could do that manually by going into your contact list and just actually like throwing people in that group. Or again, you can do it through your customer journey. So now I will say this, while grouping and segmenting is a really powerful feature and a really powerful tool, especially the larger your list gets, this can start to feel really overwhelming when you think about, oh, I've got a group and I've got a segment. Taking one massive step back again to kind of the 30,000 foot view, I highly recommend anyone out there, if you're just getting started, just create a really basic journey for people new to your audience. Start there. That's just, hey, thanks. You know, because in theory, here's what's going to happen. Somebody is going to come to your church. They're going to give you their name and email. They're either going to fill it out through a digital form or maybe a physical connection card that you're going to take an import in on Monday morning or whatever. You want them to get an email that says, hey, thanks for joining us for church. We were glad to have you as our guest. Then a few days later, or maybe a week later, that's maybe where I would recommend going back to the idea of stair-stepping information. Okay, hey, we have this special text. You know, we want to text you about special things coming up or a special message from our pastor or whatever. What's your number? You ask the number, and then, like I said, the address. You give a reason to ask for the address, and so on and so forth. That's always where I recommend to start, because you're getting to know them, and they are getting more comfortable with sharing information with you. Once you kind of dial in that process, well, then now we can start to work on different journeys for different reasons and different groups, different segments, and so forth. So this is a good thing to know how to use as far as segments and groups. I just want to reemphasize, like, don't get too distracted or overwhelmed by feeling the need to, you know, just dial everything in specifically with, oh, getting all my groups figured out perfectly and all my segments and creating different journeys for different groups. Now, start with the one journey, the one funnel, and then kind of expand from there.
It's a good idea. Also, you can try to figure out what information would be applicable to someone the longer that they're in your church. And you don't want to hit them with everything in the first visit. First visit they come, the most important thing is come the second time, you know, and then just
absolutely
build it out from there. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the next thing we're going to look at, we kind of already started to touch on tags. It's really hard to, mentally kind of wrap our minds around, okay, well, what would be the difference between a tag and a group? Because, you know, I mean, they kind of are going to provide similar functionality. But I think it's just another way to help you, just again, if segments and groups, easy for me to say, right? The differentiating factor of segments is, again, that it's dynamic. It's primarily based on their activity and engagement with your actual email and communications. So groups and tags, the way I see it is it gives you the luxury of, for you on your end, being able to further distinguish where people are. Maybe, for example, maybe you do say, you know what, groups is going to be about true actual groups that they are involved with. So again, maybe that's a small group, or class type of setting. Maybe that is a service team. These are true groups that they're actually involved in. And maybe you decide to use tags as, okay, this is more based on like what they're interested in, where they're at. So for example, in the last episode, we made the salvation tag just as an example. Well, maybe you do. Maybe this is where you kind of track your steps of where they're at. So you make a salvation tag and a baptism tag and, I'm trying to think of all the other potential assimilation process tag, you know, oh, new members or something like
membership
that.
Membership class. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, it really comes down to you, how you want to, you know, do that. But maybe that's an idea, because all of this stuff can be Like, for example, if we were to flip back over to our automations and looking at our journeys and all of that stuff, and setting up these funnels, you can automate tags as well. So you could say, hey, when something happens here, I'm going to change their tag or add a new tag or whatever it may be. And so it's just something to consider there. Again, tags, groups, they can all kind of seem like the same thing, but it just gives you a further option to, make further organization distinction for yourself on the back end. Now, I do think the one thing to note about tags, I'm pretty sure that tags are something that, like, for example, the nice thing about groups, if you do it right, is that you can set up a group to where on a signup form, someone can opt into being in a group. I don't believe that's the case with tags. So tags is something that would be truly internal only, whereas groups is something that could be. And people, you could also give them the option to essentially opt out of groups. So if they say, okay, I'm not interested in serving anymore, I'm not interested in this class anymore, or this small group anymore, they could potentially opt out of that. You don't have to give them that option, but you can. Some groups you may want to do that, some groups you may not. Whereas again, tags is kind of like, tags is that little part on the form, the paper form that you fill out that says, hey, for office use only, that's kind of what tags are. And that really nobody's going to necessarily know what tag they're a part of, but they may know what group they're a part of, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It does make sense. Yeah. And it sounds like groups are ongoing, whereas activities aren't as much. Like if you're doing a spiritual decision or experience or, whatever else is tags, that's probably the best way to think about it in the church world context.
Yeah, exactly. What you're saying is, groups are something that you're probably not switching groups very often, maybe every 6 to 12 months at the most in terms of frequency.
Right.
Whereas tags, they could represent these different stages of, like we said, the assimilation process, and so forth there. So, the nice thing about tags too is people can be tagged in multiple tags, just like they can in multiple groups. So, you could even use it as a way to track. For example, if you had to have a salvation, baptism, membership tag, you could just leave people, tagged, like, hey, okay, this person is obviously, they're saved, but they're not baptized, or maybe they're claiming baptism, but they've actually never been saved, or whatever it may be. And so it's just, there's all different ways that you could, apply this to your, in the church world, to your church in particular, to keep track of where people are at. Now, I will say this too, Jeremy, I know you guys are using some form of a church management software there as well. And these church management software is maybe more equipped in that it's more specified and geared towards, the things we're talking about with, like I said, assimilation and things like that. Right. And so it's like we've said before, or I know I've said it. I can't remember if it was a conversation with you or just on another episode in general. You're not going to find one platform, one tool that does everything. There are really powerful church management softwares out there that I would recommend, but I've yet to see one that's truly as effective at email automation as something like a MailChimp would be. Might have a version of it. But so you're going to have to, and that might mean, creating some situations where you figure out how they cross over, how they overlap. It might mean that there's some dual entry involved. You're going to have to, when you get a contact, you're going to have to put them in MailChimp and you're going to have to put them in your church management software. I know that's a little bit frustrating, but my argument that I make for that is I found that there really is a lot of power in redundancy. So, because everyone's like, well, it'd be nice if there's just one master database. Well, now if you've got two, first of all, on the highest level of a technical disaster, something happens and your MailChimp account gets shut down. Well, good thing you've got a backup of all your contacts in church management software, or vice versa. So that's nice a nice benefit of it. But the other thing is it's kind of a nice way to keep everything in check. If you've got someone manually responsible for making sure that everybody that exists in MailChimp exists in the church management software and all the other places. Well, I don't know. It just kind of, it makes you more intentional about, you know, you're not just collecting names and emails, like you're actually connecting with people here. And so you're saying, okay, I know they're here, but they're not here. Let's make sure that they're all in the right spot. And so, you know, all that to say, one platform's not going to do everything, but, you know, you can use both and tap into the resources of a tool like MailChimp, as well as of a good church management software.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking that earlier, our church management system does try to do a knockoff version of this, but it's definitely not as robust whatsoever. So that's a great point. Yeah.
And that's what I've seen is a lot of them do it. It's just how well do they do it? And usually it's a very dumbed down version, you know, of what you're looking at. There's not all of the different, you know, the journeys that the church management software offer are very, very basic and very simple in terms of how they work. And there may be some out there where it's more than enough, and that's great. If you can make it work, cool. But in most cases, again, you're going to have to be willing to use multiple platforms to accomplish multiple goals.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jeremy, this has been another really, I think, helpful episode. I hope it helped you. And I hope it helps our audience out there. Before we kind of close it out for today, is there anything else, you know, any other questions or thoughts you had?
No, this definitely gets me started on setting up. I mean, I'm sure as I get into it, you know, we didn't look at obviously any of their tech stuff that they have. That's really new. We also didn't look at any of their analytics, which you have to be doing this for 6 months to a year to start to get some good analytics on. So I'm looking forward to getting started, and hopefully other churches can benefit by it as well. And then we'll do some more videos as breaking down analytics and best practices and things like that as we jump in farther into it. But no, thanks. This is going to be a really good starting point. And what you've given me now will be easily 3 months of work getting all of this content together and different stuff ready to go. And that's the point of it. So the real work begins, but I would have wasted a lot of time had we not done this. So thank you.
Yeah, great. Well, I will repeat a little bit of what's been said before here. I encourage you, Jeremy, as well as anybody out there watching, listening, as you start as simple as possible. You know, start with that one journey, that one funnel. And even with that one journey and funnel, make that very simple. If you start with maybe say, I just want to make a 3 to 5 email sequence, you know, before diving into the SMS or any of the other things, or even, you know, we were looking at those different, you know, if this, then that type of scenarios. No, just start with something really basic that, hey, you get this email when you sign up, you know, 2 days later, 5 days later, however long it is, you get this email, and just try to try to make it to where, hey, everybody make a goal for yourself that says, you know, everybody who gets added to my email list in the next, you know, 2 months or whatever they're going to receive these 3 to 5 emails. I'm going to make sure it happens. And then we're going to build it out from there. You know, the worst thing you can do or anybody can do is trying to bite off way too much, as they start, you know, just make it simple. You know, cause you got to also think, once you map out, you know, like I said, the 3 to 5 emails you want, you already said this, Jeremy, you got to come up with the content for those emails. You got to write those emails. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to use ChatGPT. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, seriously, like, that's a total other thing, but like, I could do a whole episode on that. Like, don't be afraid to let ChatGPT give you a starting point, really. Don't use it as is, but, you know, say, hey, you know, write me a welcome email for something or whatever. But, you know, can you, nothing else, give inspiration? But, you know, because that's where the work begins. But if you start simple, you can really tap into this and like kind of just expand and grow it as you go.
And that's a great idea, because that's never what I do. I get too excited and I immediately make it way too complicated and level 10. Same. And then it never gets done. So yeah, absolutely. So
yeah. Sometimes stuff, I'm like, thanks, yeah, Jeremy, you should. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, Jeremy, I'm like, yeah, you should be an entrepreneur too, because that's what we do. Like, our ideas are way too big. And we try way too hard. Just got to start simple. But yeah, Jeremy, thanks again for being with us for this episode. And thanks to everyone out there for joining us for this episode. And we'll see you in the next one.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.